If you recall the last time I shared with you, we talked about discontentment. Well, I think we're going to stay on the dis topics and talk about disappointment. We have all dealt with disappointment. Sometimes many times in a day. I guess that you might be disappointed on the topic that I'm going to talk about today. Well, if you are, get over it. You can't be disappointed until I'm finished. Then you have every right to be disappointed. Disappointment comes in all sizes, doesn't it? Whenever our hopes are not realized or our expectations are not fulfilled, we feel disappointed. Disappointment can be a passing emotion over a temporary loss, or it may strike powerfully when something permanently changes our lives. We all experience disappointment for different reasons. In itself, feeling disappointment is not a sin. In itself, how we handle it is the crucial issue. Disappointment is so common that it was difficult to choose which biblical characters best illustrate it, because the Bible is full of disappointed people. Just think of the years of disappointment felt by Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, and Elizabeth. Month after month, year after year, they saw the evidence of childlessness. Job and Joseph had reason to be disappointed too, both in people and in God. But if anyone was ever faced with repeated disappointment, it was Moses. He was rescued in infancy from certain death by the faith of his parents and the ingenuity of his mother. God arranged for him to be adopted by the princess of Egypt. He even spent his formative years being raised by his own parents. He learned from them God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was taught that the Israelites were God's people, chosen to bless the world, and that God would make them a nation and give them land. Even after Moses went to live with Pharaoh's daughter, his foster mother, he was never able to forget what his parents had taught him. You can only imagine the tension he must have felt having a double identity. As the years went by, he saw Hebrew slaves struggling under terrible bondage while he lived in luxury. Moses had to do something to help his people. Let's look up Acts 7, verses 23 through 25. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. Moses longed to be the deliverer of his people. He was willing to use his power and influence to change their desperate situation. But they rejected him. In fact, he had to flee for his life from Egypt, to live in the backside of the desert for another 40 years after the murder incident. Talk about disappointment. Moses had two good reasons to be disappointed. First, he was disappointed in people because his expectations that his people would understand what he wanted to do for them and would accept him were not fulfilled. Second, he was disappointed in his circumstances. After all the education and the years of privilege that he had experienced in Egypt, he certainly didn't dream that he would be tending to sheep in the desert. Talk about a discouraging future. Moses was tending to his sheep when God spoke to him from the burning bush. Can you imagine the shock that Moses would have experienced to hear God speak and want him to do what he had once wanted to do? To deliver his people out of Egypt? So let's look up Exodus 3. Verses 7 through 8. And also 9 through 12. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then verses 9 through 12, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. After all of this, Moses, his self-confidence was gone. And for the rest of Exodus 3 and 4, God patiently answers each of Moses' objections and insecurities. He promised to be with him. He gave Moses the power to perform miracles, and God assured him that the Israelites would follow him this time. And he would compel the Egyptians to let them go by this great power. Even in all of this, Moses was a discouraged and defeated man. Even with God's assurances, he still wasn't convinced. Let's look up Exodus 4, verses 10 through 13. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. This time God was angry. He did allow Moses' brother Aaron to accompany him and be his mouthpiece. Then Moses and Aaron told the elders about Israel, God's message. Now, we look up Exodus 4, 29 through 31. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they had heard the Lord was concerned about them, they had seen and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. This time the people accepted him and worshiped God. Moses was encouraged. Things were looking working out just as God said they would. Now it was time to tell Pharaoh. And then in Exodus 5, if you're still there, don't go far. Exodus 5, verses 1 and 2. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." With these words, the battle lines were drawn between God and Pharaoh. Pharaoh oppressed his slaves even more until life became unbearable for them. You can only guess who was to blame. Well, Moses, of course. Then in Exodus 5, verses 20 and 21, when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Can you imagine the disappointment Moses felt when he heard those words? Instead, their circumstances were worse than before. Of course, Moses was disappointed too, but in handling his disappointment, he showed us what to do with our own expectation when our own expectations are not realized. In Exodus 5, 22 and 23, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Moses blamed God for all the trouble. He accused God of not keeping his promises. But the important thing is that he came to God and expressed his doubts, his fears, and his feelings. God can handle that. He knows how we're feeling anyway. When we honestly tell him of our disappointments and heartaches, he can reassure us and comfort us and give us strength to go on. Let's look up Exodus 6, verse 1 and then 12. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country.'" And then verse 12. "But Moses said to the Lord, 'If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?'" Poor Moses. Now, he's in the pits, you know. I mean, he was depending on his own ability. Instead of realizing that he was the instrument in God's hands. God would accomplish the deliverance of his people, not Moses. His faith had a lot of growing to do, and God was very patient. He let him suffer disappointments because they drove him to know God, enabling Moses to trust him to a greater degree. Of course, he does the same with us. We're all familiar with this story describing how God displayed his mighty power in the devastating plagues that ruined Egypt. Ultimately, on that first Passover night, while Egypt was mourning the death of their firstborn, Israel marched triumphantly out of the land of their long and cruel bondage. God opened the Red Sea for them to pass on dry ground. In the days that follow, He led them with a pillar of cloud and fire. He fed them with manna. He gave them water from the rock. In essence, He supplied their every need. Now the Israelites heard God's voice at Sinai when He gave them His law to live by. But over and over, the people complained. They were disappointed about one thing and then another. Even though Moses increased in his faith and dependence on God, the people's constant griping drained his strength. In Numbers 11, they complained about the monotony of eating manna every day. Again, Moses was disappointed and discouraged. Let's look up Numbers 11. Verses 10 through 15. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you to put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." I think you can tell that Moses was worn out. Instead of a grateful, joyful people, willing to endure anything to get to a wonderful homeland that God had promised, he had to play nursemaid to a bunch of babies who were never satisfied, no matter what he or God did. Do you ever feel disappointed and exhausted with the mundane routines of life? You know, the meals, the carpools, the kids, laundry, shopping, house cleaning. Do you have a job that is far below the skills that you were trained for? Do you have aged parents to care for? Maybe to the point that your own activities have had to be severely changed. Maybe your children are demanding and too young to appreciate your efforts. God recognizes genuine stress, and He will help us. Let's look at the way God relieved Moses. Now, in Numbers 11, verses 16 through 17, the Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, and they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. The first thing that God did was to give Moses 70 men to help him carry the burden of all these people. God didn't punish him. He helped him. God still uses other people to encourage and help us. But God wasn't finished. Numbers 11, 18 through 20. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day, or 2 days, or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and you have wailed before him, saying, "Why did you ever leave Egypt?" So God gave them what they wanted. God gave the people the change in diet that they had craved. But he showed his displeasure about their constant complaining and ingratitude by sending death with the quail he provided. For many, their first bite of quail was the last thing they ever ate. Moses wasn't through with disappointments. How his heart must have been broken when people refused to go to the promised land because of the bad report of the 10 spies. When God punished them with 38 more years in the wilderness, Moses had to endure it with them, even though he had wanted to go forward and possess the land. But Moses' worst and final disappointment came when he was forbidden to enter the land himself. This happened because of an outburst of pride and anger. He begged God to allow him to go across the Jordan. After all, hadn't he been a faithful servant for 40 years? But God's answer was a resounding no. Deuteronomy 3:26. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. That is enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Imagine God forbidding Moses to even pray about it anymore. Moses had to be satisfied with a bird's eye view of the land from the mountain before he died. But he did not lead his people into it. There are some circumstances that will never change. We have to learn to accept them and to keep trusting God in spite of our disappointment. Only in doing so are we able to experience life at its fullest. So how can we get over disappointment? The answer is in thanksgiving. No matter what we are going through, we can find something to be thankful for. First and foremost, we can be thankful because we belong to God. If we have trusted in Jesus Christ, God is our Heavenly Father. He knows everything we are going through. And He is the only one in the universe who can make bad things work together for good. So we can thank Him for His presence, His love, His blessings. We can rejoice that He has good plans for our future and that we receive His daily care no matter how dark our circumstances seem.